Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, The Renunciation of Karadama Muni, Text 31. Just a sec. Tane eva te birupani rupani bhagavams tava yane yane cha rochante swa jananam arupina tanyevate birupani rupani bhagavams tava yani yani charochante swajananam arupina tanyevate birupani rupani bhagavams tava yani yani charochante swajananam arupina tanyevate birupani rupani bhagavams tava yani yani charochante swajananam arupina. Mataji is Tane, those, those, ever. Truly, te your abhirupani, suitable rupani forms Bhagavan. O Lord, tava your yani yani, whichever cha and rochante are pleasing swajananam to your own devotees, arupina, of one with no material form. Translation. My dear Lord, although you have no material form, you have your own innumerable forms. They truly are your transcendental forms, which are pleasing to your devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Brahma Samhita it is stated that the Lord is one absolute, but he has ananta, or innumerable forms. Advaita Machutam Anadim Ananta Rupam, Brahma Samhita chapter 5 verse 33. The Lord is the original form, but still he has multi-forms. Those multi-forms are manifested by him transcendentally according to the tastes of his multi-devotees. It is understood that once Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, said that he knew that Narayan, the husband of Lakshmi, and Ram, the husband of Sita, are one and the same, and that there is no difference between Lakshmi and Sita. But as for himself, he liked the form of Lord Ram. In a similar way, some devotees worship the original form of Krishna. When we say Krishna, we refer to all forms of the Lord, not only Krishna, but Ram, Nrisinga, Varaha, Narayan, etc. The varieties of transcendental forms exist simultaneously. That is also stated in the Brahma Samhita. Ramadi Murti Shu, Nanavataram. He already exists in multi-forms, but none of the forms are material. Sridhar Swami has commented that arupina, without form, means without material form. The Lord has form. Otherwise, how can it be stated here, tan yeva te birupani, rupani bhagavams tava? You have your forms, but they are not materially. Materially you have no form, but spiritually, transcendentally, you have multi-forms. Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand these transcendental forms of the Lord, and being disappointed, they say that the Supreme Lord is impersonal. But that is not a fact. Whenever there is form, there is a person. Many times in many Vedic literatures, the Lord is described as Purusha, which means the original form, the original enjoyer. The conclusion is that the Lord has no material form, and yet, according to the liking of different grades of devotees, he simultaneously exists in multi-forms, such as Ram, Nrisinga, Varaha, Narayan, and Mukunda. There are many thousands and thousands of forms, but they're all Vishnu Tattva, Krishna. Tanyeva te birupani, rupani bhagavams tava, yani yani charochante, swajananam arupina, my dear Lord. Although you have no material form, you have your own innumerable forms. They truly are your transcendental forms, which are pleasing to your devotees. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha, Paditanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Yes, so, Kardama Muni continues his appreciation and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila. And here, of course, as we see, he is discussing the very interesting and not simple subject of the forms of the Lord. It is definitely a multifaceted subject with all sorts of different elements in the picture. And of course here Srila Prabhupada in the purport has focused on a few of them. And where to start? That's a good question. Let us start with the point that the Lord, just right here in this very verse, has been described as Rupani Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. The Lord here has been described as Abhi Rupani and Arupina in one verse. In three ways in regard to forms, his forms. First of all, abhirupani means suitable forms. Just sort of like very specific forms, suitable under specific circumstances. And then rupani is just in a very broad sense forms. And then arupina means in a very literal sense, in the most literal sense possible, it means without a form. So, of course, the Vaishnavas, they understand this to not just mean formless, but they understand that it means no material form, as Prabhupada discusses fairly elaborately in the purport. But it's interesting, being described in these ways, in one verse, abhirupani, suitable forms occur according to certain specific conditions or circumstances. Rupani, just forms, like just a very simple plural form of the term, of the word, forms. And then arupina, a few words later, formless. Sure. If someone did not have the benefit of being instructed by Srila Prabhupada or hearing in Parampara about these things, the forms of the Lord, well, you could only expect that they would be confused, or they would think that we are confused, or that Kardama Muni is confused or something. Yes, it's really quite an extraordinary point. So let's just look at that first. You know, it would appear obvious that just taking Kardama Muni to be just a sensible person and not some sort of, you know, really quite strange person, that he could not, in you could say, literally the same breath, in literally, practically, the same sentence, he could not say that someone is formless, has a suitable form, and has no form, and expect to be taken seriously. So, yes, but understanding from authority, from Parampara, we understand that it's not only a matter of the Lord being let us say the absolute truth. It's not just a matter of the absolute truth being described in just many places, really many, many places, as having a form. It's not just that. It's not just that words like abhirupani or rupani, rupa, that these terms are repeated, I don't know, must be hundreds, maybe thousands of times, if we include many of the Vedic literatures. It's not just a matter of that, but as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that the Lord is also addressed as Purusha, not in this particular verse, but he is addressed as Purusha in many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, and various other Vedic literatures. The Absolute Truth, who is described as Rupani or having a form in so many places, he's also described as Purusha, as being a person. Purusha is just the standard word for person. You know, in India, in Hindi, men are commonly, the term which is used is Purush. Am I right? I mean, I haven't had many dealings, like official dealings with Indian governmental people, but I can tell you one thing. You'll laugh. That on public toilets in India, you know, you got the men's side and the ladies' side, and the men's side, it says, if you can read Devanagari, it says Purush or Purusha. What can you say? It could hardly be, huh? Men. Yes, I know. It means men. But you could hardly get a more common term for describing people, a person, or even, as Prabhupada says here, an enjoyer. This term Purush, it refers to a person, but also a male person or enjoyer like that. Prabhupada discusses this in different places here and there. So he's described in so many places as being Purusha, which is just, you know, it's just a standard word in the language for a person. And not just a person, but a person like a male, a person who generates living beings. So that's there also. And then there are so many descriptions of the absolute truth as having pastimes, having relationships, having feelings, emotions, qualities, and all these, you know, really personal things. But after all that, just because in certain places like this verse, the absolute truth is described as being arupina or arupa, without form, not so often at all, but it's there. So particularly the impersonalists and those who are impersonally inclined, sort of like closet impersonalists, like almost, you could almost say your typical Hindu is a closet impersonalist, particularly if they think that, yes, Krishna, Vishnu, Durga, Kali, and so on and so forth, they're all the same, which is so common. They're at least closet impersonalists. So just because in certain places there are references to the absolute truth in impersonal type terms, if you take it just on the surface, then despite there being far more reference in so many ways, as we mentioned, many different ways, to the absolute truth being a person, and having a form, still these impersonalists and those who are impersonally inclined, they do their best to try to push this point that the absolute truth is not a person. Yes. But Srila Jiva Goswami discusses, you know, it's almost an obvious point, you could say, in principle. But Jiva Goswami does discuss in Tattva Sandarbha, right in the beginning of the Sandarbhas, he discusses this point, this principle of how, particularly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it can be different things actually, but particularly the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in different ways in different places. And how should we take this? What should we make of this? You could say like that. So what to make of this? And he gives this, it's just a simple explanation. It's just a quantitative thing. See how many times the Lord, the absolute truth or the Lord is described in this way or that way in different ways. And then you'll get a type of some sort of picture. And then what to make of that picture? Well, what would make sense is that because in any language of the world, there is the practice of at least a fair number of words being able to be used in at least two ways or even more than two ways. And in the Sanskrit language is just full of this. The Sanskrit language, there's so much of words having a main meaning, but then a secondary meaning, or actually, usually, quite a number of secondary meanings. This is normal in language. And in Sanskrit, it's just, you know, there's a major presence of multiple meanings of so many words. I mean, it's almost every word, actually. It's quite incredible. So he makes the point that when there is, you know, solid evidence for a word being taken in a particular way rather than another way, although the word is used in some other way or ways, then the point he makes is, then you have to interpret. You have no choice but to interpret the word as it's used in that other way or other ways, so that it's in keeping with the clear general understanding. That's a fairly simple point and a reasonable point. Then he makes another point, particularly about Srimad Bhagavatam and how the absolute truth is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. He makes another point, and that point is that in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two speakers. One is Suta Goswami, and the other is Shukadev. Suta is basically just repeating Shukadev, but still Suta is prominent. Yes, and in certain places, you get Suta Uvacha. He gives a few of his own realizations. So he says, at least Srila Jiva Goswami says in Tattva Sandarbha, that we have to understand what is the realization that both, Suta Goswami also, but particularly Shukadev Goswami and Vyasadev. And Suta, that's fine. But actually, particularly Shukadev Goswami and Srila Vyasadev, what are their realizations of the absolute truth? Because they are the people from whom Srimad Bhagavatam has come. This great book, which is accepted so widely as being authoritative, even by a number, at least, of Mayavadis. So without going into all the details, he presents different verses in which the realizations of Shukadev and Vyasadev are presented, and then it's clear that as the authors, their understandings of the absolute truth, which is simply what they're presenting in the book, is that he's a person, and he's the Supreme Person. Yeah. And that ultimately, he's Krishna. Not just a person, but a very specific person. As Prabhupada says here, when we say Krishna, we refer to all forms of the Lord. Not only Krishna, but we're also referring to Krishna. It's not just, you know, don't worry about Krishna himself. Let's just get into all the other forms. We recognize that they're all forms of Krishna. But we also recognize that Krishna is Krishna. He is the original form, and he's got a unique position there. Ete changsa kalapam sa Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam. Jiva Goswami goes to lengths, it's actually in Krishna Sandarbha, to establish that point one, that Krishna is the supreme the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and point two, that verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is the verse, as we have mentioned over the last few weeks. The term is Paribhas Sutra, that essential verse which defines the meaning, clarifies beyond argument, beyond doubt, what is the subject matter of a particular book. So in this case, it's Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead in person. So, yes, but the Mayavadis, like we mentioned, you must give them credit for exercising their brains and just, you know, wow, thinking up all sorts of, you know, clever, to some degree clever, but sort of abstruse, complex, you know, extracting certain meanings from verses which in some cases don't clearly say whatever these people say they say, and in other cases giving emphasis to a point as being the main point, when by other, just normal standards, they're not the main point. They can't be the main point. It just doesn't make sense by any sort of normal use of intelligence. So that's there, here, that when the Lord is described in this verse as Arupina, then also Rupani and Abhirupani. Now we have to understand this Arupina in a secondary way, not just the obvious way that without a form, formless. it's clear we have to do that, otherwise this verse and many verses just won't make sense. They'll just sound like some foolish person is expressing his confusion. And actually, Lord Chaitanya makes this point when he was preaching to Prakashananda Saraswati, that, you know, you accept some things that Vyasadeva says in Bhagavad Gita, for example, some things, but then other things that he says, you know, plenty of other things, you don't accept. So what's going on? Does Vyasadeva know what he is talking about or not? Or do you need to come along and help Vyasadeva by clarifying when he says one thing which doesn't seem to sort of gel with other things? You will now extract the real meaning. So you become the ultimate authority. Okay, so Arupina then, in a secondary sense, means not a material form. It's a secondary sense, but you have to apply the secondary sense when the primary sense doesn't make sense, and which is exactly the case in this verse. So yes, and then Kardama refers to Lord Kapila as Abhirupani. Abhirupani. Suitable forms. You appear in suitable forms. Not just in forms, big forms, small forms, this type, that type, but suitable forms under certain suitable circumstances. So what are those circumstances under, you could say, under which the Lord appears suitably? Well, as the purport, as Srila Prabhupada explains, those multi-forms are manifested by him transcendentally according to the tastes of his multi-devotees. Interesting point. And it's an interesting question. You could say, what comes first? The desire of the devotee, the desires of the devotees to see the Lord and interact with the Lord in certain particular forms, or the Lord appearing in the certain particular forms and then different devotees just becoming attracted in this way or that way in different ways. Well, anyway, the devotees and their desires and the Lord and his different forms, they're all eternal. So I think the answer lies somewhere there, that you can't really say that first the Lord appeared like that and then someone thought, oh, look at that form. I really like that one. I'm going to go for that one. Or that the Lord, that the devotees just had certain desires and the Lord thought, oh, okay, I'm going to appear like that. All these things are important. But it's very important that they're all part of this whole idea of the relationships between the Lord and his devotees. They can all be understood and seen in that context. Which indicates, I mean, maybe there's other contexts too, but it definitely indicates that the Lord takes his relationships with his devotees very seriously. He takes his relationships with his devotees very seriously. Yeah. And the devotees take the relationships with the particular form of the Lord that they have a relationship with. The devotees take their relationship with that particular form very seriously. Even you could say, sort of to the exclusion of having relationships with other forms of the Lord. Not in the sense of like rejecting them and not caring about them, but they keep focused on that particular form, which is, so to speak, their form, the particular form which is dear to their hearts. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Hanuman. It is understood that once Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, said that he knew that Narayan, the husband of Lakshmi, and Ram, the husband of Sita, are one and the same, and that there's no difference between Lakshmi and Sita, but as for himself, he likes the form of Lord Ram. At least one place where, maybe in a slightly different context, this type of point comes up. It's in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Narada Muni has been directed by somebody, maybe I think it was Prahlad, Anyway, Narada Muni was directed to Hanuman as being, you know, arguably the greatest devotee of the Lord, that person, that devotee who's received the most mercy from the Lord more than anyone else. So Narada Muni went there and met Hanuman, and sure enough, he saw how Hanuman is such a great devotee of Lord Ram. Just amazing. And then, Narada Muni said, well, but the thing was, Hanuman was waiting for Lord Ram to come. And he'd already been waiting for some millions of years. Yeah. But still he was steadfastly waiting. So then Narada Muni says, well, look, you know, actually, Lord Ram is present now. He's in Dwaraka. It's not so far, it's not too far away. He's there in his form as Krishna, but it's the same. You know, Krishna, Ram, they're essentially one person. So come with me, and you'll get the association of your beloved Lord. And Hanuman got inspired. Yes, let's go. And they're just about to go. And then Hanuman says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When Lord Ram left me here millions of years ago, he told me, don't go away. He told me, stay here, because I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'll be back. So don't move. So Hanuman says, you know, what will the Lord think? What will happen if he comes back just now? And I've gone to Dwaraka. I can't do that. I cannot do it. I must not do it. It would be terrible after all of these years to just abandon my post, and then Lord Ram comes and sees that I've abandoned my post. So I'm staying. So he stays. And Narada Muni goes to Dwaraka. So like this, the Lord has multi forms, and at least one of the reasons, it may be the main reason, is because the devotees like to see him and relate with him, have relationships with him in different ways, in different forms, with different characteristics and different personalities to some degree. The devotees like this. And it's not just Krishna. I mean, they're all Krishna, but in the other sense, there's oneness and difference. In the sense of oneness, they're all Krishna. In the sense of difference, Krishna is especially Krishna. And the others have their own natures and devotees and pastimes. So it's not just Krishna only. Even we chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Rama's there. When Srila Prabhupada became ill, very ill, the first time in New York, he was put in hospital, and he told the devotees asked, are there any special prayers or things we can do to help? And Prabhupada gave them the Nrisimhadev mantras, which we chant. He didn't just say, chant Hare Krishna. It wouldn't have been wrong, of course, but he didn't. He said to chant those prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. So like this, Prabhupada recognized you know, the element of diversity, at least to some degree. So like this, Kardama Muni is celebrating. My Lord, you're so wonderful. You are just so wonderful. Because you have so many forms, which are just so totally attractive to so many devotees. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? That's true. Okay. Okay. That's good. Srup Damodar Prabhu raised 2 points. One is that When Narada Muni was speaking very inspirationally to Hanuman, that your Lord is there. He's there in Dwaraka in the form of Krishna, you know, and it's the same. You can associate with him. Come with me. And initially Hanuman agreed, but then he changed his mind and staunchly refused. So Srup Damodar Prabhu said that when he read that first, he got the impression Hanuman may not have trusted Narada Muni 100%. And I also got the same feeling, yeah, when I first read that. But then there's, so anyway, whatever. But because Narada Muni, he, you know, Radhika Ramana Namane, maybe he has some special favorite amongst the different forms of the Lord, but otherwise, you know, he associates with and glorifies and appears in the pastimes of many forms of the Lord. He's not exactly one of these just single-focused devotees. So then Srup Damodar Prabhu said that it was interesting that Hanuman, it appears that he gave more importance, more emphasis to doing his prescribed service to the Lord, which he had been instructed to by the Lord to do, by the Lord, than going and seeing the form of the Lord. And of course, you know, the Vapu Vani subject is very important, particularly now for devotees who are disciples of Bhakti Churu Maharaj and so many who had attachment, had relationships with Maharaj. Now the Vapu is not here, at least for the time being. We can't see directly. So the Vani has to take precedence. And the devotees have to be able to accept the Vani on that level of presence. Yeah. Otherwise, like what happened with some number of disciples of Prabhupada, when Prabhupada left, they couldn't they had relationships with the Vapu, fairly long term and quite deep. But then the Vapu was gone. And now you have to transfer to the Vani. And if you can't, then the relationship sort of just reduces, at least, put it that way. You can remember the Vapu, of course, and keep pictures and so on, and that's nice. But it may well not be enough. You really have to be able to take the Vani into your heart in that very personal way and live in a relationship with the Vani in very personal ways. And that's what Hanuman did. Thank you. Mother Rukmini. Yes. Right. Cruel. Okay. Well, that's, you know, it's an interesting point. I wouldn't say I really thought like that, but it sort of flashed in my head, gosh, Lord Ram has told Hanuman to wait. He's already been waiting for millions of years. Come on. Or Lota Baba, or Shridam, there's another, the same pastime in relation to Shridam in Bandiravan, in the Vrindavan area, that Krishna told them to wait when he left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. Just wait and don't move. Just stay right here, right here. And you'll see I'll be back. But Krishna only came back 4,500 years later as Lord Chaitanya and said, see, I told you I'd come back. And with Hanuman, it's much longer. He's still waiting. He's still waiting, actually. But the thing is, you know, it can only be, of course, you know, achintya bheda bheda tattva means that there'll be feelings in this context. There'll be feelings of presence, very clear feelings of presence, which may well be the dominant sort of feeling and idea and realization, but sometimes there'll be feelings of difference, and therefore sometimes there'll be, you know, what looks like pain in separation. But it's all just part of the ecstasy. And therefore you don't find any of those personalities really complaining or really, you know, getting really upset about it, making a big issue of it. There's a similar story in Navadweep, Modadrum Dweep, that Lord Ram and Mother Sita and Lakshman stayed there. They stayed in Modadrum Dweep. It's one of the nine islands on the other side of the river, on the western side. And one day, Mother Sita saw Lord Ram was sitting in meditation with a big smile. And so afterwards she asked him, well, what were you thinking about? What were you meditating on? You were so ecstatic, you must tell me. And Lord Ram said, yes, I was thinking how we are going to appear here together in Kali Yuga and we'll be husband and wife again. And Mother Sita was really happy. Oh, that's wonderful. And we're going to give everyone love of ourselves. Because she appeared as Vishnu Priya. And it's going to be really blissful. And Sita was really happy. And then Lord Ram said, but the main reason I was smiling and feeling so happy is because I was remembering, I was thinking how I am going to give you in that incarnation, I'm going to give you the greatest mercy, greater than I'm able to give you in this incarnation. He said, I'm going to leave you and take sannyas and give you the greatest mercy of experiencing love in separation. And Sita said, oh no, you can't do that. You know, she objected. And Lord Ram said, yeah, I wanted to do it in this incarnation, but you wouldn't let me. I wanted to go to the forest on my own, but you insisted on coming and you just refused. You just would not stay. So I couldn't give it to you, but it's the most wonderful thing. And at that time, I will give it to you because that time I'll take sannyas. And then you can't come with me. We cannot be Mr. and Mrs. Swami. Yes. So I'm going to make sure that time to give you that greatest mercy so you experience the greatest ecstasy of love and separation. And of course we know he did. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.